This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for staying with me, Koo Soo Chuang, and Philip C on The Morning Run, 7:48 in the morning. Now, come January the 16th, Malaysia's electorate will swell by around 5.8 million new voters upon full implementation of Undi 18 and automatic voter registration laws. The Deputy Chair of the Election Commission, Azmin Sharum, said that some 1.2 million new voters comprise those aged between 18 and 21, while the remainder are new voters above the age of 21. The electoral rolls will be automatically updated on the 16th of every month moving forward.
The move will increase the number of registered voters by 40% to over 21 million voters. The implementation of Undi 18 is a culmination of a long advocacy process that saw the bill passed in Parliament with bipartisan support in 2019. However, the increase in the electoral size will also have an impact on constituency sizes. The EC has admitted that some MPs may be serving constituencies with many more voters than before. So, what are the issues and challenges that will come to the forefront with the surge of new voters coming in?
So for some analysis on the impact of Undi 18, we now turn to Ben Sufian, Program Director for Merdeka Centre. Morning, Ben. Can you put into context the significance of adding 1.2 million new voters aged 18 to 21 come January the 16th? Will this make much of an impact?
Well, I think the significance is very, very huge, in part because these are voters who are not part of the existing... First of all, they're very new, and at the same time, they're young and they have different expectations and values from the remainder of the population. And let me also remind that besides the 1.5 million new voters aged between 18 and 21, there will also be an additional maybe 5 million people who are above 21 years old and therefore eligible, who had previously not registered and who are now automatically entered into the voter list. So we will have a large number of new people. And when we analyze the people who are above 21 and automatically entered into the electoral roll, we found that the vast majority of them are young as well. They're all below 30. Most of them, maybe about 75 to 80%, are below 30 years old.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, this sounds like a very different country that the people will be voting for. So I want to get your perspective, right? This big influx of new voters, where is that impact felt the most? Which constituencies are going to be changing the most as a result of this massive voter demographic shift?
Well, we have, basically still in the midst of analysing the distribution of these voters, but what we do notice are a couple of important points. Number one, most of these voters are going to be voting in urban or suburban constituencies, with the exception of people in Sabah and Sarawak. Because we do know that in the past, many people in Sabah and Sarawak do not get themselves registered until very much later in life. In fact, perhaps they're living in rural areas, they therefore it's much harder for them to register. And therefore, we do notice that, you know, prior to the Undi 18 constitutional amendment, the numbers of eligible people who actually registered as voters in Sabah and Sarawak typically do not exceed 60%. So a large influx of new people above 21 years old but voting, likely eligible voting for the first time in the two states. But be that as it may, in West Malaysia, in Semenanjung Malaysia, we find that most of them are going to be in urban constituencies and suburban constituencies. So just as an example, the suburban constituency of Bangi, that's going to see more than 100% increase in the number of new voters. But rural constituencies, let's say Sabah Bernam, that's just going to see perhaps a 15 to 20% increase in the number of new voters.
Yeah, and Ben, what do your surveys tell you and tell us in terms of how these new voters will vote? What is their headspace, even in terms of participation rates? I mean, they may be registered, but will they participate? Will they vote?
I think first and foremost, I think many of them will vote, but I think the participation rate is going to be significantly lower than people who've been voting before. So this one, I'm talking about those that are above 21 years old. I think the participation rate overall is going to fall, partly because those who were older but didn't register may likely not show up to vote. That's, I think, the first point. Second point is in terms of how they view politics and association with political parties, that seems to be weaker as well. So in the surveys that we've done, we've asked people in terms of what likely will motivate them, what are the major factors that will push them to come out to vote. And for many, it's quite interesting. For the youngest group of voters that you mentioned, you know, the 18 to 21 years old, actually two factors matter most for them. That is the candidate that's running in the area, but more critical for them is the figure of the national leader of the party that is contesting in their area. So big, prominent national leaders, perhaps they recognize. But for the rest of the new voters, it's just local candidates and some issues.
Yes.
Not parties.
Yeah, so Ben, so you're saying that character politics, identity politics will still remain, and of course the resonating with individual personalities will still be important.
Yes, I think national figures, perhaps, you know, figures in the form of party presidents or standing leaders in the government, those guys will be more recognized by younger or new voters, in part because, you know, they don't really follow politics, and so whatever they see or hear will tend to be about prominent leaders who are in the media very often. So leaders that are not in the media as often or representing smaller parties may not be recognized by young people. But another point is that for younger people, what constitutes as a source of information for them is vastly different from older voters. So for them, majority subsists on news that they get from social media and the internet.
So I want to get your perspective. You know, you just know you're giving us two stats. Bangi, 100% increase in the electoral voter. Sabah Bunuman, only 15%. This will create huge imbalances, isn't it, in terms of the electoral constituencies. So what is the EC going to do to address this imbalance then?
Well, I think, you know, ideally, at some point, they need to do a redistricting exercise where the vast differences in constituency sizes need to be addressed. You know, what we do have a problem in Malaysia is that even before this change in the number of voters, you know, there are already significant imbalances or what these scholars call malapportionment that already exists within our electoral constituencies. That's one problem. The other problem is that some of the constituencies do not conform to the administrative districts of a particular state. This is especially true in Selangor and a couple of other states. So I think ideally they need to redistrict so that the sizes of constituencies are not vastly different from one another, perhaps, you know, within a 15 or 30% range. That's ideal. But we are many years away from a redistricting exercise. So I think we are going to see all these imbalances play out in the upcoming general election.
Yeah, so how does the politics of Malaysia look like with this influx of, you know, nearly 6 million new voters, Ben? And, you know, will we see a clear government as a result or quite the opposite?
Well, I think what constitutes, you know, potential outcome in an election in the near term, perhaps within a year or 18 months ahead, depends on how the political parties, you know, realign among themselves. We do notice that in the last year or so, there's been the formation of many new parties and perhaps many more will be formed in the coming months for them to vie in the upcoming election. But the thing is, the political situation and how people make choices, you know, although I've said earlier that candidates matter and leadership matters, vast number of existing voters continue to vote along largely party lines, and these parties represent specific in ethnic or religious interests. So that, I think, is going to be still a dominant theme that's going to color our politics. Our constituencies will continue to have very dominant ethnic associations with it. For example, I think with the influx of new voters, we'll have to find that the proportion of Malay voters in the constituencies will marginally increase by several percent, maybe anywhere between 1 to 5%, depending on the concentration. And so outcomes will be harder to predict. If, let's say, parties that are not in government can find it within themselves to have an electoral pact, then I think their chances are immensely better. But if they don't form coalitions or electoral pacts, then you're going to have a very fragmented political market. And a party could potentially win majority in collaboration with parties of Sabah or Sarawak, but come out from very small vote shares. You know, perhaps like 35% can win you the national parliament because the other opponents have not banded together.
All right, Ben, thank you so much for your time. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director for Merdeka Center. UDN18, nearly 6 million new voters. You know, incredible. The oft-quoted refrain was that, you know, the young people don't know what they want and it's going to be a big mistake. I actually don't think so. I think that we need a change. We need a real sea change where politics in Malaysia are concerned. But what was a bit disconcerting from Ben's comments was that I think he's right in saying that ethnic issues, religious issues, racial issues will still be dominant, still be led by personalities. And it's just Malaysia's legacy, the luggage of 60 years of just basically the same stuff. I hope it changes,
because I think you're right. They know what they want, but they probably will change quite fast. You know, their requirements shift. And perhaps that's why there are all these emergence of new parties, because I think younger voters are more open to these newer institutions and constructs of political ideology, right? Hopefully. And I think, and my view is, I do think the fragmentation, the coalition building is actually very healthy for our democracy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.